Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I think that we are, quite frankly, in a very different time in the Ravens-Steelers rivalry. The Ravens-Steelers rivalry doesn't feel to me the same as it did 10 years ago. I mean, when was the last time that there was the animosity of a player going on a bus to try to fight somebody?
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peters. That was Aditi on our show talking about how Steelers-Ravens, to her, has lost its luster. I think it's back. I think the shine is back on this rivalry. It's never waned to the point where it became an afterthought in the NFL, or the Ravens became a lesser evil, or a team that Steelers fans didn't care about, or didn't look at as a kind of circle the calendar type game twice a year. But the matchups where Lamar Jackson plays, like this one Saturday, and both teams are vying for the same prize again, not backdooring their way into the playoffs, but trying to position themselves to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. That, to me, is the definition of Steelers-Ravens. And that's what we have again. So just because some guys aren't trying to kick each other's ass pregame and get on each other's buses, I don't think that that makes a difference.
I don't think it's as good as it used to be. I'm closer to agreeing with Aditi. I think you can look at the rivalry through two prisms. One is what you just said. It's about the stakes of the games. They're playing meaningful games. They are, again, the class of the AFC North. In the Steelers' case, that's in a year where they were supposed to finish fourth. They just keep, you know, they're these churning models of consistency. And then the state of Ohio doesn't know how to do pro football, basically, even in the Bengals' case when they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think the reason it's not the same is, I think these rivalries, even though they're about teams, in this particular case, have been about individual players a lot. And Lamar is definitely a protagonist in Baltimore, an antagonist in Pittsburgh, even though they've had, you know, kind of a mastery over him.
Charlie, do you know what antagonist means?
Come on. See, this is all he's trying to do here is deflect
don't say yes or no.
On a roll.
I mean, don't give me the definition.
Charlie,
just say yes or no.
All he wants to do is try to stop me while I'm trying to give my opinion here, so he can just break it up like a pothole-filled road.
To quote Seth Davis, I'm not stupid. Yes, I know what it means.
Okay. Logan, do you know what antagonist means?
I think it means the bad person or the bad guy in a situation, right?
Thank you, Logan. You got it right.
Well done.
And now Pony's hoping that I just stop with my take and we can just get
Have
right
you lost
back.
Your train of thought?
No.
Because I have something I want to say.
Well, just, I mean, you always do.
No,
so
go ahead.
You, no.
No, that's
no.
Okay.
I'm going to be very deferential. Do you know what that means?
No. Yes, I do. So Lamar Jackson is a lightning rod player, and this is what you were saying.
I want you to say what you were saying, and then I will eventually spit out my take.
Doesn't Lamar Jackson, because of what he has to prove yet in this rivalry, doesn't that make it a super intense rivalry right now where it's as good as it gets in the NFL? You have a guy who can't get over the hump against his biggest rival in the team that they get compared to and they get measured up against every year.
Strangely enough, I don't think it's as impactful to the rivalry as it should be. Because I think Lamar now, his real rivals are the Chiefs and the Bills, and Lamar almost versus himself in the postseason. I think that's the bigger narrative storyline here. I think Steelers-Ravens had historically been great, yes, because of the violence, but also because like there were multiple characters on each side of it. Like, big personalities, big accomplishments. There's Ben, who had already won, two Super Bowls, or won his second Super Bowl in Flacco's rookie year. Flacco had enough actual successes against the Steelers to be seen as like a legitimate foil or foe. He ends up getting his Super Bowl while he's still pretty young into his NFL tenure. And so you have like the most of the rest of the 2010s with these two very established big-time quarterbacks.
But the quarterback matchup now is just as good as that.
Russell Wilson is in his ninth game with the Steelers. There's not that like history in the rivalry. He just played his first Steelers-Ravens game. Flacco inserted himself into the proceedings early and made a splash, but you still had Terrell Suggs,
okay,
Ray Lewis on a side, Ed Reed on a side. You had Troy, you had Harrison, you had Clark.
Yes, but
you had very big names who had been there, done that, and had a long-running sort of rivalry culture. I think just you've seen a relative lack of some of those names.
Flacco was a rookie when they played in the AFC Championship game, and the rivalry was as good as it ever was.
Flacco, like, immediately, to his credit, like, inserted himself into the proceedings, and it felt like he had been there, at least to me, for a while.
I mean, and didn't Russ? I mean, he didn't play a great game, but he won. Derrick Henry immediately made an impact on this series for the worse for them, and that he fumbled and then wasn't on the field, nowhere to be found late. He's a huge, big-name player. He's a future Hall of Famer.
To me, Flacco makes an immediate splash as a rookie by rallying them back to a tying field goal in his very first Steelers-Ravens game. And then getting them to overtime, and then they win that game, and that's sort of an announcement for Joe Flacco. Like, he was good in that game.
Wait, man, what are you talking about here?
I'm saying
they lost all three games.
I'm sorry, I had the wrong year. 2009 I had clicked
they
on.
They went 0-3 against the Steelers.
Forget it. I clicked on 2009. It's my bad.
And the guy melted like a Yankee candle at Acrisure Stadium, Heinz Field, in the AFC Championship.
I like how I just created a completely alternate timeline for Joe Flacco by clicking on one wrong game.
I'm just shocked that you would try to hold up Joe Flacco as evidence
that
the rivalry
was
better back then. They got freaking Lamar Jackson now, who's a two-time MVP.
I know, but Russ just does not feel like he's really part of the rivalry still. Russ hasn't had what I would call...
He's earned his rivalry stripes. He won a game. He's 1-0.
I would say you earn your rivalry stripes either when you get your team to a point where you're playing your rival in the AFC title game, or what Flacco did a couple of years later, which is actually beat the Steelers in the playoffs. Like, he also had games in the regular season where he would take them. Like, I still remember him hitting Torrey Smith and ripping their guts out.
I would have agreed with the DD, like, the last few times they've played, because it's been so inconsistent with Lamar Jackson's status for these games, or availability, because he's either been injured, ankle injury, didn't play, or they've had things locked up and he didn't play. So we've seen in Baltimore Tyler Huntley more than we've seen Lamar. Lamar's never played a game in Baltimore with fans in the stadium, because the only time he did it was a COVID year. That's how sporadic his involvement in these games has been. But now that he's at his apex, the pinnacle of his game, and you've got Russell Wilson, who we know gives the Steelers a much better chance than the quarterbacks they've had since Ben. Like, I think it's a revival of the rivalry.
It's still a really good game. It's still the two regular season games I generally look forward to the most in the calendar.
Yes.
But for me, it is definitely... No, you can't stop me halfway through and then say I'm proving your point.
My point.
The butt here is a large, rotund butt. It is nowhere close to me to what it used to be. It is still.
So when did it cease to be what it once was? When did it cross the Rubicon into being a good game but not an incredible game that was like, if we're going to try to convince people to become NFL fans, we're going to put this rivalry or this game on?
I would say Ben's injury, probably, for me. He tears his elbow up. I feel like it hasn't been the same since. Because in the immediate aftermath, when he comes back that following year, it actually briefly felt for a moment in time like the Browns were actually going to, like, regain some status as their true rival. You have Mayfield, who's this, you know, here's this cocksure, confident quarterback who's going to, like, tell you how it is, and then he's going to go into your place and beat you. He does that in the playoffs. I'm not saying the Ravens felt like an afterthought there, hardly, but it just felt like there was a paradigm shift there. So I would say for several years now, it hasn't felt like the same rivalry. It frankly didn't feel like a rivalry, even though the Steelers got wins when Pickett was their quarterback or Trubisky, because I just didn't feel like they were even on close to equal footing to Baltimore. And I'm aware that there have been individual years where, like, the Ravens have been really bad or the Steelers have been mediocre, but by and large, you have always looked at each team when, in the prime of that rivalry, as a very legitimate threat to win its conference, to go to the Super Bowl. That's why in, what, a five-year span, they went to three combined Super Bowls and won two of them?
Well, I would agree that lately the Ravens have been the much more relevant team than the Steelers, because the games in Baltimore have basically been, we need to win and we need five or six things to happen to even get into the playoffs. And the stakes for them have either been, sometimes they've been none. They've just been resting their best players to play against us. They've been thinking about the next week. I mean, that's that when it's that, like, if you're comparing it to that, that is last time they played in Baltimore, week 18. Was a must-win for the Steelers. It was a nothing game for the Ravens. They didn't value the rivalry so much where they played their guys and tried to knock the Steelers out of the playoffs. They were thinking about the following. Well, they ended up resting for 2 weeks because they were the number one seed. They didn't even, it wasn't even for the following game. It was a super long break for them. So, yeah, when it's compared to that, I would say that this is better. But Aditi made it sound like it's missing, like, the bad blood between the two teams, and I don't feel that way at all.
The bad blood does not feel as bad as it did. It's still there, but it doesn't manifest.
I think the two
way.
Coaches like perpetuate.
Why
that?
Do people watch football in part though? They watch for the violence. People like the hitting. The bad blood manifested in some of the most vicious.
But by that logic, you would just say overall football's not as good as it used to be. We could preview every game and say, you know what? Well, this upcoming game actually against the Chiefs, it's not what it used to be when the Steelers played the Chiefs in the 90s, or this game against the Bengals, it isn't what it was.
You don't think there are a lot of people listening to this show who feel that exact way about football?
I'm sure they do, but it's an odd time to raise that point if that's just people's overall feeling on football.
I mean, I do think that is part of it. I know that was Aditi's, like, fundamental thesis. I also look at something else. I mean, we traffic in this business, so you should be sympathetic to this. The personalities in play are not as big. Lamar is not really, like, a controversial personality at all. Russ is, like, made an entire career out of trying to not be controversial. Does TJ Watt say 10 controversial words? The most, like, polarizing thing he did to some people was not show up for the Defensive Player of the Year awards. Cam Hayward won Walter Payton Man of the Year. Like, where are your Ray Lewis's? Where are your Suggs's? Where is your Hines Ward? Where is even Ben? Ben was a lightning rod for obvious reasons, many of them. Like, where is even a Pouncey? Dudes like that. There aren't really those
guys. You don't
think
Patrick Queen's that? You don't think Marlon Humphrey's that?
I don't feel like the Patrick Queen story, as big of a storyline as it is, has the same kind of juice. I feel like if that had somehow
happened 10 years
ago, it would have been absolutely, like, people would have been foaming at the mouth in the run-up to these games.
If we went into the season with aspirations of winning the Super Bowl and were looked at as Baltimore's equal or better than them, and that game had that attached meaning to it, like, hey, the winner of this is going to be considered with Kansas City the best team in the AFC, I think people would have made a much bigger deal about his role in that game and his feelings on it. The problem is that we're trying to get, even though we beat them head-to-head, we're trying to get back to a point where people identify Steelers-Ravens with, hey, the winner of this team is the best team in the AFC North and probably has a pretty good shot at going to the Super Bowl if they can get past, back then it was New England, and now it's Kansas City. And I think we're getting closer to that. You felt for weeks that you think the Steelers are kind of a borderline Super Bowl contender. I feel the same way. This game for us is to win the division. This game for them is for Lamar Jackson to get a pretty big monkey off his back against this team. To me, that's as compelling as it gets with this rivalry and these two teams.
I mean, I'm not going to try to go down any more rabbit holes to defend it. It just does not feel the same as it used to for me. It really doesn't. It's still great. It's not, it's not like it was,
if it's
though.
Great, then what the hell was it before? If it's great now,
10 out of 10 before.
Now it's only a 9 out of 9.5.
8 to 8.5 now.
It's true. It's dropped from a 10 to an 8.5. And, man, it's not what it used to be, man.
It isn't. Well, by definition, it's not what it used to be. It used to be a 10. Now it's not.
I know, but the way Aditi made it sound and the way you were defending that point was almost like it went from a 10 down to a 5 or a 4 or a 3.
I enjoyed defending that point just because I knew it was irking you.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text on Edgar Snyder. Reminds you to text responsibly. All right, Ray Fittipaldo is standing by. He was at Steelers headquarters. We've got all the injury news coming up. The questionable players we'll ask about. I will let the cat out of the bag on this. T.J. Watt is not on the injury report. He is playing. We'll ask Ray if he'll be on any pitch count or if he'll be limited at all in this game against the Ravens when we come back. It's the PM team on the fan. Here's a headline with Logan.
Logan Arblaster with your fan headlines. The Steelers can clinch the AFC North this week with a win at Baltimore on Saturday. Kickoff is at 4:30. Headlines are powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. More 93.7thefan.com. Pony?
All right, let's talk right now about FanDuel, the official partner of 93.7 The Fan, the official betting partner of the NFL. Tonight, Thursday Night Football, a game that has, I think, a matchup that is interesting for Steelers fans. It's the Chargers and Broncos. Denver's the 6th seed right now. The Chargers are the 7th seed. That means, depending on how tonight's game goes, one of these two teams either way will be right now the projected playoff matchup for the Steelers in the first round. And as I see it, I look at it like a game that could go either way. It's a field goal spread here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I do like the Chargers to win. We don't know with Denver. Their defense has been excellent, but Bo Nix did throw some interceptions in their last game against Indy and got away with it because of the way that Indy completely fell apart with a horrible trick play and then obviously what Jonathan Taylor did fumbling the ball at the goal line. Right now on FanDuel, make a $5 bet when it's your first bet, and you're going to get $150 in bonus bets if you win that bet. So you're going to take $5 and turn it into $150. I'm at a casino right now. You're not going to find many opportunities to turn $5 into $150 like you can on FanDuel right now. Just go to FanDuel.com/Andrew. That's FanDuel.com/Andrew, and you're going to have a chance to turn $5 into $150 on America's number one sportsbook, the FanDuel Sportsbook. 21-plus and eligible in PA. Opt-in required. $150 bonus expires after 14 days. See terms. Go to FanDuel.sportsbook.com today. Must be 21 and over to play.